Hey, welcome to the Strongpreneur Podcast. My name is Tom Reber, and today's guest has been in the sales world for over two decades. He is the inventor of the Selling with Confidence sales training system. He's an acknowledged expert on sales coach world. He is the host of the amazing Sales Babble sales podcast. And this guy is a sales coach, consultant, trainer, and all-around cool guy. Please welcome Mr. Pat Helmers. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, thanks, Scott.
So what did I miss? Tell us about yourself.
Well, I don't know what. I thought you did a pretty fine job there about talking about me. That's pretty much spot on. Yeah.
So, for those that don't know who you are, I guess give us a little bit of who you are and why you do what you do, man.
Well, I'm a sales coach, sales consultant, sales strategist, and I do have a podcast called Sales Babble, and I interview sales experts. I've been in sales for a long, long time. Most of my background, Tom, has been selling technology, software, and things like that. So I kind of self-taught myself sales. I've read a bunch of the sales books, and over time, I eventually became a sales manager, a VP of sales, hiring and unfortunately firing people.
Yeah.
Time. And in developing great professionals and developing my people, I've come to some beliefs on what sales are. So I invented a system called Selling with Confidence, which teaches people how to set their fears aside and to find great leads, set appointments, give terrific presentations, and ask for the deal, ask for the sale. Those are the things that people struggle with all the time in sales, and those are the things that I like to focus on.
Awesome. Well, you and I have gotten to know each other over the last year or so through a mutual friend, Neil Christensen, and he's also been on the Strongpreneur podcast where we talked about email marketing.
Well, you're the most interesting man.
Yes, he is the world's most interesting man.
So. You are, but so is he. Oh. We all are.
That's right. And so I thought it'd be a great fit to have you on because obviously you can't have a strong business if you're not selling stuff. And you know, my goal is to help equip people to build stronger businesses and enjoy the ride a little more as they're growing their businesses. And so, again, you know, nothing happens without that transaction of money being exchanged. And so I wanted to have you on. So I appreciate you taking some time to hang out with me for a little bit today. So I guess kicking off, I'm just curious, somebody who's been a sales trainer as long as you have and in the game this long, how do you define sales?
Sales is, in my notion, is the ability for two people to connect and come to an agreement on a trade. Well, trading is something that is fundamental to humans and fundamental to business. You know, I'll give you an apple for that banana, and right. And sometimes you and I agree with that. That's a square trade, but sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. When I have a conversation with you to kind of explain to you why it's a good deal for you, that's sales.
Yeah.
And that's different from marketing, which is not a two-way thing. Marketing, a lot of people think of marketing as sales, but usually marketing is a very one-directional thing. When you're trying to create a pretend virtual conversation in people's heads, see a commercial, they read an email. Sales is really two people having a conversation about value. And is this trade going to have value for both parties?
So I think the key word there, you know, you used to define it as two people that are connecting.
Yep.
And, you know, my first sales job years and years and years ago was an in-home window salesman. It was a terrible, terrible gig. And it was a very one-sided thing. You know, just the philosophy of that company. And I didn't stay there long, but had very little to do with connection of what we were taught. So how do you... you know,
yeah.
What do you see that the best salespeople do that to connect with others?
Yeah, what you were doing is what we commonly used to call a show up and throw up.
Mm-hmm.
and you had this story that you wanted to say, or this script that you had to spit out, and frankly, that just doesn't work in this day and age. People vet you quite a bit online before they ever talk with you. So, and the thing is, there's just so much information these days that people get overloaded. So people really want a sales professional to really kind of help shepherd them through all this information. And so great salespeople are genuinely about helping people. That's, I think that's the most important thing. They have an attitude of, I'm here to help you. With that attitude of, here, I'm here to help you, they will listen to what your true problem is and then see if they can solve that. That's really what qualifying clients is about. Is right?
Right. Right.
Do they have an issue that I can solve? Maybe I can. Maybe I can't. Maybe I know somebody who can. But if I have this attitude of, I'm helping, I'm going to listen a lot better versus listening for a pause when they talk so I can then do my show up and throw up thing. So great salespeople, I think, are helpful. I think they are emotionally intelligent. They can really read between the lines. They can tell when people are uncomfortable. They're astute in connecting the dots between what people are saying and what they really need. Mm-hmm. Fourth thing is they're tenacious, that they just don't let things go, that they don't forget to follow up, you know, that they're very organized. And so I usually, what I like to say is master sellers have heat, which is what we just spoke about. H for helpful, E for emotionally intelligent, A for astute, and T for tenacious.
That's good stuff, man. So what, what do you see, I guess, across the board? I know you've worked in a number of industries, but what are some common things that you feel really sabotage the sale?
Being a know-it-all. Hmm. Thinking you know what their problem is before they've really understood it necessarily themselves. I think what hurts businesses lots of times, especially businesses that have been successful for a while, is a sense of hubris. And hubris is a word a lot of people don't know. But mostly, if you were really cut through what it means is they're just kind of know-it-alls. And they think they got it all figured out. And
yeah.
And they're not awake to what clients really want, not awake to where the competition's really at, not awake to what how the economy is going, and they just think they've got the secret sauce, and they continue with that, and then they're shocked and surprised that it's not working out for them. I see salespeople do this all the time. They think they know what the prospect says something, and they go, "Oh, I know exactly what they need."
Right.
And they
spin
on that.
Well, it's because we fear looking like we don't know what we're doing and that we're not the solution, right? So it's almost like it's rooted in a fear that we're not going to show them quickly enough that we're the answer to all their problems.
Right. It makes more sense to have a long conversation and generate and have them really feel the pain that they're feeling. Really mm-hmm. Turn the burner up on that. Sometimes I think of great salespeople are sadists. Oh, so the air's really leaking through those windows a lot. Oh, so your wife's complaining about that a lot. Oh, that's got to be tough.
Oh, I bet your granddaughter's cold when she sleeps over, huh? Yeah. You know?
How do you deal with that? Oh, and you let them just like simmer and simmer and simmer. And then you say, well, you know, I got something I might want to show you that just might solve what we've been talking about. Would you like to see it?
Oh, that's good. Well, it's funny that you brought up, you know, being a know-it-all, being the thing that sabotages. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody else a week or two ago about, you know, being a dummy in the sales process. And we were talking about those old show, Columbo.
Yeah.
Where he was just he was this amazing detective, and you always thought he was a dummy because he wasn't too proud to ask what appeared to be a stupid question.
Right.
And what it did is it exposed, you know, the crime. And, you know, so that's what else? Anything else come to mind that things that a salesperson does to you know, sabotage a deal?
I think it's really important when they're presenting and they're sharing what their product or service is, that they're constantly reconnecting back to the pain that the client's expressed. So too often people get all caught up on features and the functionality of what they have. Instead, what they need to do is they need to make that quick connection back. Hi, you know, this is this functionality that we have. Do you see how that benefits you? Because it addresses that pain that you mentioned before. And then you wait. Yeah, I see that. Okay. And then you go along and you do that again. Here's another feature. Look at this one. Do you see how that can benefit your company because it addresses that other pain that you mentioned? Oh, yeah. What you're actually doing is you're slowly closing them. So when it comes time when you're all done, it's not hard for you to say, well, we've walked through the list that you mentioned. It looks like we're addressing every pain that you have. That's about right, isn't it? Am I wrong here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess what you're kind of saying is you're not going to be surprised that you're going to want to start. Would you like us to start working on this in the next couple of weeks? You know, get the paperwork going and get this moving?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, so they're really selling themselves.
They're selling themselves.
Yeah.
You're using their words against them to a certain degree. But the thing is, if you have this attitude, I'm here to help them, it's really not what you're doing. You're genuinely looking to see, do you have what it takes for them? Sometimes you get through this and you realize, I don't have what they want. That's just not what we do in our business.
Yeah.
We don't do that right now. That's just not what we do. You want to buy windows, but really we install swimming pools.
Yeah, a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah.
So I had a guy, a friend of mine years ago who was a big trainer for one of the big insurance companies, sales trainer.
Yeah.
And he gave a talk at an event that I was at one time, and I really don't remember anything about the talk other than this one point he made, and I think it's a pretty good point to remember. And it was, he approached every sales appointment or opportunity simply with this in mind. And it's like, my whole goal here today is simply to figure out if we're going to be a good fit.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And that served him pretty darn well because he was extremely successful. And I remember at the time in my own business and life, I applied that. Like, okay, instead of trying to go in and just sell this thing, I'm going to go in and just see if we're a good fit. And you know, the results were a lot better.
It totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. People have a struggle with that is that they don't have true faith in their product or service.
Mm-hmm.
And they think somehow they're going to have to like kind of shove it down their throat somehow or trick them into it. If you have a really great product or service and you've done a pretty good job of qualifying who these people are, just have faith that it's all going to work out in the conversation. Just follow the process. Ask them the questions, connect the dots, show them how you're addressing their pains. It's all going to work out in the end.
Can you make people buy?
Not really, no. There's some tricks some people do that sometimes kind of work.
Yeah.
Like if you get people to say yes 4 or 5 times in a row, they'll say yes the 6th.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
There's a little something to that, but mostly you can't really make people buy, and you don't want to.
Because exactly. Yeah.
Because there's a big part of this sale that people forget all the time, and that's the part of getting loyal clients and great references and great referrals. So if you somehow, you know, wang dangle them into buying, and happy, that's going to come back on you, and even more so than ever in the past. Because with social media, people can tweet out all kinds of nasty things about you. You're better off to really have this attitude, I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. Let's see if we can find agreement that works out for both of us.
Yeah, it's more of a genuine transaction. Nobody feels like their arm's being twisted.
Oh, no.
You know, and your longer lasting connection, relationship.
Yeah. I don't think you can really, make somebody, some people, I mean, swindlers do this, but I just don't think it's really for an ethical sales professional. No.
Sure.
No.
So what do you say? You brought up ethical there. This made me think of something. So what do you say to the people? I know some people that when they hear the word salesperson, their skin crawls. And what do you say to put that person at ease? Because I guarantee you somebody's even listening to this podcast who's a business owner, they're a role in their business, and I personally believe that everybody in the company is a salesperson. And you know, some people would never in a million years want to classify themselves as a salesperson because of, you know, their perception of what that means. So what do you say to that?
Well, first off, you don't agree with them too much and you try to get them to laugh. Like Glengarry Glenn Ross or, you know, Wolf on Wall Street, you know. So you try to get them to laugh and you go, yeah, I know a lot of people think that. But have you ever had salespeople that you've really... In your experience, have you had salespeople that have been really great?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. What were they like? Tell me. I just go back in my question mode, right?
Yeah.
Tell me what you like about them. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I think especially in when you have the business owners who they're doing a lot of the sales themselves or they're starting a company, you know, if they're solopreneurs, entrepreneurs.
Right.
They really have a passion about their business, but not a passion about sales. Uh-huh. If they take that attitude of like, I have great products and services. I think I can really help my clients. And if they go into a sales call with that attitude, I think I can really help them. I think they'll just naturally say the right kinds of things. Well, not necessarily, but they're much more likely to say the right things.
So, I wish you could see my notepad now. I've scribbling so many things that I want to talk about, which is, my mind is just going all over the place here. Talk to me about personality types and what you've learned. So I know some people, and self included here, I had a lot of success early on in sales because I have an outgoing personality. And I think it's easy to just look at somebody who's outgoing and think, oh, they're going to be good in sales. But that also means somebody who's not outgoing wouldn't be good in sales. That makes sense. Talk to me about how, and I didn't even let you answer there. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
I think the question that you're asking is that, you know, are extroverts better salespeople than introverts or, you know, more outgoing people, are they going to be better or how does that all work? Is that the question?
Yeah. Rewind the last 30 seconds and insert that and we're good. Yeah. That'll work. Told you I have all this stuff going on in my head here, man. I'm trying to
studies on this.
Okay.
I interviewed a great guy, Alan Mayer, and he's an introvert who believes in the power of sales for introverts. And what he has found is that they've actually done some studies that really extreme extroverts are usually terrible at sales because it's all about me. It's all about me being the show. It's all about me being on stage. Mm-hmm. Real introverts are not very good at sales either because it's very difficult for them to, you know, to reach out to people, right, to try to connect with people. They don't have those social skills. The majority of the great salespeople are somewhere in the middle. In that they're okay with people, they can reach out to people, but they have enough humility to listen. So I don't think it's necessary. I don't think you have to have the big personality to be great at sales. I think what you have to have is the mindset of like, I'm here to help.
And that's, you know, the longer I'm in it and the more I learn about it, the more I value the less extroverted ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I realize how much work really goes into being a good listener.
Yep.
And slowing the process down and not making it about you.
Right.
You know, I'm naturally wired to make it about me. And so I've had to, you know, relearn a lot of things to make it about the person I'm talking to. So exactly. Or talking with. So you've mentioned that you help people generate leads as well.
Right.
How does that work in the sales world for you? What does that look like? Because I know it's obviously you can't sell something if you don't have a lead. So how do you help salespeople get more leads?
I'm in the space, and I don't think it's true for all businesses, but I'm more in the B2B space.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my clients and a lot of the clients my clients have are out on LinkedIn. So there are a number of processes and steps that you can do in order to connect with people on LinkedIn, and it's not nearly as hard as what people might think. LinkedIn's a great way of connecting with people one-on-one. LinkedIn is almost like a networking event or a cocktail party where you briefly bump into people, exchange business cards, and you move on with the idea of, I'll follow up in a few days.
Okay.
So that's just a terrific place to prospect. Just terrific. Terrific, terrific.
And how do you recommend people go about prospecting on LinkedIn? What does that look like?
You know, there are search tools in there where you can go in there and find people who are of your, who are your ideal clients, which is, I think, is a really important thing. We haven't talked much about this, Tom, but I think a weakness that a lot of businesses have is they don't truly understand their ideal client. They think they might know, but they really don't get their entire language and what the issues they're facing and what it would take for them to reach into their checkbooks and write you a check.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have to know, you have to kind of do that homework first before you can know how to reach out. Well, let's just say you did that.
Yeah.
Let's say you do know who your ideal client is. There's ways of you can search on LinkedIn, find people of that, and then connect with them. And there's lots of different ways of connecting with them. Some people think it's pretty hard to connect with people you're not very connected to on LinkedIn, but it's really kind of not. If you get their email, you can connect with them. You commonly can look with people. They actually put their emails on their websites, or they put their emails in their profile.
Right.
Phone numbers. You can use those to connect. If you're connected with somebody kind of like them, so once you have a few hundred people kind of connected with you on LinkedIn, they just kind of come up, and I will just up and say things like, we worked together once before. And then I will always write a little note. I won't use the canned one. I'll write a little note and say, you and I have things in common. I was looking at your profile, and I see we have people in common. We have a background in common. I'd love to connect with you.
Right.
People see those. They're far more likely to agree to meet you. That's one way. And then people will connect with you. So whenever anybody connects with you, I've met people who say, "Oh, I don't want to connect with them. I don't know who they are." Like we're talking about Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't that. Instead, you would say, "Thanks for connecting, Tom. What about my profile? Did you find of interest?" And that's just an awesome question, because they'll come back and they'll say, "Well, Pat, I saw that you were doing this. Are you doing that?" And next thing you know, you've got yourself a lead.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'd just said, "Yeah, I accept it," or reject, that's a lead you never would have gotten, nor information out of them why they thought you were interesting.
Yeah, I'm thinking through LinkedIn. I haven't done a whole lot personally on it. I'm doing more, and I just recently I've been doing more on it. But I tell you, it's funny. For the last year or so, I'd say it. Probably about once a week, I get one of these annoying messages from this accountant guy, and it's just this pitch, you know. And I don't know how we connected. We probably met at some meeting or something at one point. And there's never anything where he's trying to build a relationship. You know, it's just blanket message I think he sends out to all of his connections. And it's done nothing but annoy me, you know, And sadly, that's what I see, you know, a few people doing here and there when they're trying to connect with people.
But that doesn't work.
Right. No, I can't imagine calling the guy to tell you the truth. So
it's a picture you're at a meetup group, you know, and you're shaking hands with people, and some guy or gal, she pulls out a flyer and just hands you the flyer.
Right.
Starts reading it. Hi, Susie, I'm Pat.
Yeah.
And then it says, Susie, so nice to see you. I have a dot, da, dot, da, dot, da, da, you know, and they start doing their elevator pitch. Have you ever had those kinds of people? It's like that.
Same thing. Totally.
It's the same thing. Yeah, that guy does not understand LinkedIn. He doesn't get it at all, which is a shame because he's a really good accountant. Who knows? And so he was told to do this and he's, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you his info and you can reach out to him and then you can coach him up. How's that? You can help the guy out.
I'll help the guy out. Yeah.
Because at least he's consistent. I'll give him that. You know, he's
easy
week in and week out. So you've been in the sales game for quite a while.
Yeah.
What would the Pat of 20 years ago think of the Pat now?
Oh my goodness. I would have never thought I was here. I would be here today. My background is actually software development, engineering. I have a couple of degrees in computer science. I invented stuff for telecommunication systems 20 years ago. Was it 1995? And I was like a technical manager managing a group of people worried about Y2K.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I've always been interested in innovation and technology and getting people and helping people facilitate that adoption of it. When I moved into sales, it just seemed like it was a very natural fit. But I never would have thought that the world would be, I've actually become quite a digital marketing person now. Mm-hmm. I would have never thought that in a million years. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting how things have gone on, but you know, the fundamentals haven't changed. Connecting with people, the adoption of technology hasn't fundamentally changed and engineering and all that. We're in different mediums, but the goal is still the same. It's like, how can I add value to your business, sir?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I take away that frustration, ma'am, that you're experiencing in your business?
Yeah, the fundamentals of the game are always the same, aren't they?
They are, because we're still human beings.
Yeah, it's like football. You still got to block and tackle no matter what kind of offense or defense you're running.
Yep,
and, you know, if you don't tackle the other guy, it's going to be a long day. So, tell us a little bit about your podcast, Sales Babble. What, you know, one podcaster to another now. I'm new to this. You've been doing it longer than I have. Mm-hmm. I just started earlier in 2015 here. What's been the biggest surprise for you?
Podcasting has actually been harder than I thought it would be. I thought I'm in sales. It should be pretty straightforward. But it's taken me a while to really get people to ask questions and to really listen to them. And it's different than being face to face. Most interviews are done over Skype, which is what we're doing here today. And it's a very different experience. I think I've really gotten it down to the T now, really letting people speak and listen to what they're saying and follow up on that. That's been pretty easy. It's the parts for me where I do intros and outros where I have to speak to nobody here.
Uh-huh.
I actually find that kind of difficult. I actually find it kind of, but I've been able to whip that too. You're doing a great job, by the way. Kudos to you, Tom.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's I hear you. You know, it's funny if you go back and listen to like the first half dozen of mine. You know, my guests are great. I'm terrible, and you know, it's again. You know, I'm wired to run my mouth. you know, and so I've really had to learn to be okay with some silence. You know, it's really a lot like the sales process, isn't it? Just being okay with it with silence.
Absolutely. Another thing I want to share, though, is it's been great meeting real experts in sales, other experts in sales who shared a lot of wisdom and been able to give me a language on what I've innately kind of known for years. I've been doing sales for a long time, and I've read 3 or 4 books. But it's been interesting meeting people from all different kinds of sales. You know, from technology and retail and pharmaceuticals, and it's just one thing after another. You know, B2B, B2C, all these different kinds of people, and collectively take their wisdom in and then integrate it into myself. That's been so much fun, just phenomenal. It's just been phenomenal. That's probably been the most powerful part of podcasting, is meeting these really great, giving people. That's just been really phenomenal.
Do you, on that line, I'd love for you to tell us more about that. Because do you find talking to all these other experts, are the fundamentals all the same?
Oh yeah.
I mean, do you really see anything that's that different?
Every podcast on Sales Babble is like, shut up, start listening, add value. That's the fundamental. But, you know, it's so gratifying when my listeners write into me and they go, oh, that really touched me. That one episode that you had, oh, I totally connected with that. And I'm like, oh, that's just so gratifying to hear that. But I'm also thinking, you know what? We said the same thing the week before and the week after, by the way.
It's just different story, isn't it?
It's different context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one more thing I want to touch on. You had an interesting group visiting your home a couple of years ago for a couple of weeks, didn't you? They kind of invaded your property and had some cameras out and stuff like that.
Oh, you're talking about the movie.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
The movie?
That experience. That's a cool story.
Oh.
Are you allowed to or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was actually a while ago. It was maybe 6-7 years ago.
Is it that long ago?
Witless Protection. It was Larry the Cable Guy and Jenny McCarthy. And they made a film in Northern Illinois. And they filmed it in Plano and a few other towns in the west suburbs. And they needed a house that looked like Mississippi. And my house does look like it's kind of from it's kind of a ranch house from the 50s deep in the woods.
Yep.
And there's a guy from the south side of Chicago was looking at properties around here, saw my property and said, would you like to make a movie here? And I said, sure.
That's cool.
It was the most interesting thing. Probably had 80 people on the property here, tons of equipment, air conditioners, electrical plants, cameras on little railroad tracks, and all the actors and actresses and their friends. And it was really, really great. You know, it's a movie for a real conservative crowd, you know, Southern states, Southern crowd, filmed by a bunch of Hollywood uber liberal types. And it was just an absolute hoot just to see this clash between. It was just fascinating, the conversations and to watch them do that. You know, I'm a techie guy. I love seeing the technology. I kind of interviewed everybody. What's this do?
What was the name of the movie?
Witless Protection.
Witless Protection.
Yeah. Yeah. It took a couple of weeks for them to kind of slowly get the house prepared. And then they shot 4 or 5 scenes over a 24-hour period, daylight and in the day and then the evening. It's pretty interesting. Very, very interesting.
Well, that's cool. So if anyone wants to know what your house looks like, they just need to rent Witless Protection.
Yes.
And we could see where Pat lives.
We're in the database. Yeah. We're in the database. They say, don't be surprised if someone calls you up and says they want to make another movie here. I'm like, okay.
Well, that'll work. So as we kind of wrap up, how can people find you? And, you know, what would you like them to do once they do find you?
I'm easy to find. If you just type in sales babble, Google it. I've got that SEO. We pop right to the top. It's www.salesbabble.com. And there you can find my podcast. And my podcast is certainly on Stitcher and iTunes and Player FM and all those kinds of places. If you go to the front of my website, I have the 20 secrets of sales success they can download for free. And that can give them quite a bit of information. There's lots of information on my website. I got lots of free stuff on how they can improve their sales experience. So I think probably the best thing for them to do is go there on salesbabble.com.
Well, that's good stuff. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes for everybody. And, you know, I really appreciate you hanging out with me for a bit here today and giving us a bit of your story and some good stuff on how to be stronger salespeople, man.
I appreciate the opportunity, Tom, because I really believe in I really believe in being in strength. You know, we need to talk about healthness, but you know, great salespeople. Sales is a tough job for a lot of people. You got to eat well, and you got to work out. It can be pretty tough living on the road.
Yeah, you
know, going from conference to conference, hauling crap all over the place. You know, getting up early in the morning for an appointment, you know, to drive a few hours, or driving home late and getting home late. Yeah. I believe in the power of strength.
Yeah, that is an aspect we didn't touch on, and it's definitely, you know, has a lot of wear and tear, especially if you're one of those road warrior type guys and you're eating, you know, you're tempted with all that good fast food out there all the time, and you're eating out and, you know, taking clients out for drinks or whatever the heck you're doing, it's easy to let yourself go. So I'm glad you brought that up and remind everybody to take care of yourself, because you're only, you know, your results will only be as strong as you are.
I concur.
So, well, that's awesome, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you being here. Everybody, I'll put the stuff in the show notes, but head over to salesbabble.com and download 20 Secrets of Sales Success. And then also subscribe to the Sales Babble podcast. It's some really good stuff there that Pat and his guests will help you. They'll help you get better as a salesperson. So with that, I appreciate you guys hanging out with us today on the Strongpreneur podcast. And we will see you guys next time.